AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Communications and Digital Media. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's radio show. Yes, let's give everyone a hand clap. Let's appreciate people out there. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley, Bay Area, and around the world. We are here in the studio, iHeartRadio, KDOW, and online streaming. Listen live wherever you're at. You can listen online. If you want to dial into tonight's show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220, and get your questions and comments on the air with me tonight. Of course, you can also connect with me at Coach Jackson directly at On The Edge at businessontheedge.biz, or call 1-888-MY-SBC30, MY-SBDC30. Tonight, we start off kicking off our Black History Month. And it's always a great opportunity to recognize and celebrate the achievements, the heroes, the sheroes, and Black history. And you've heard me talk about over the years, Biddy Mason, one of my sheroes in our Black history. Tonight, I want to take a few moments to honor Chesley Crist. We've been hearing her story of the former Miss USA who took her own life this last week. A shockingly tragic loss. As a Black woman, female, achiever, my heart is utterly broken. A beautiful woman, a beautiful soul. We need to honor her life and appreciate her accomplishments. As I, like many of you, heard the stories and read the commentary and how she endured social media cyberbullying, how she maintained her life in what her mother called high functioning depression, not knowing that there's something wrong. We've got loved ones around us, not knowing that there's something wrong. We're not in tuned, and maybe it's hard to pick up on, but maybe if we look a little closer, and those that are high achieving, that everything supposed to be okay with them all the time, you have everything. I'm a woman of faith. I'm a deep woman of faith. And my compass, my base, is what keeps me balanced, that keeps me from anything that pulls me in a direction that is unhealthy. And that doesn't mean that there aren't struggles. I think people have this misconception that your faith, everything's supposed to be okay as well. Having faith in prayer and these sorts of things in our day-to-day life, and maybe you're not that person, is how I stay tethered in this world in a healthy way. God tethers me to a base, to knowing that no matter how bad it gets, and it's gotten bad for me. And when it's overwhelming mentally, because things can be overwhelming, life can hit you, frustrations can hit you. Bullying is not an easy thing. Bullying is very, very difficult emotionally. And for those that feel comfortable, cyberbullying, that concerns me. There's something wrong with that thought process, that behavior. That someone would feel like, with everything else going on, that they would need to end their life, like Chesley. Beautiful. I remember looking at this picture of her in her Miss USA gown, just sharp, just total beautiful form. This athletic body that I thought, as a Black woman, I thought, because a lot of Black women, we have athletic bodies. And I thought, wow, she is so beautiful. Look at her rocking everything. Not knowing people are beating her up because she looked masculine to them, spewing their pain on someone who's trying to live an optimal life. We can learn something from living an optimal world, that it's okay to achieve. It's okay to, we don't need your permission to, people don't need your permission to be, live at the best level of whoever they're supposed to be, the optimal level, the most healthy level. I've got therapist Elizabeth Stewart on the line, and I want her to chime in on the concerns, the suicide rate among Black women, according to the CDC, over the last 5 years has rose 40%. For our Black girls, 13 to 19 years old, over the last 5 years has rose 81%. What's going on? So I'd like to bring Elizabeth Stewart on and open up this conversation a little bit more. Good evening, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm not doing good, quite frankly. I'm concerned with this great loss in such a tragic way.
Yeah.
What's happening? How can we learn to pick up on signs and signals that our family member or friends are in trouble, our coworkers are in trouble?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, this, the idea and the symptomology behind suicide, what we do know is that most people that are contemplating suicide have had either a previous attempt, have either have communicated some way, somehow to somebody that they're in such despair that they want out, or I can't take it anymore. There's usually a message that person is trying to give to sound the alarm, to let people know that I'm not okay. And oftentimes, because a person may not come right out and say that I'm feeling suicidal, I want to kill myself. Most of the folks that I have dealt with in my 20-year career dealing with mental health, and particularly with suicide, have not come out point blank, just said, you know what, I think I'm just going to kill myself today, and this is how I'm going to do it. I've heard a lot of people, I have had situations where people have said, I just don't want to live anymore. Or I don't see a way out of this. This is, you know, I don't see a way out of this. And then you go into an assessment, right? You know, so do you have a plan and do you have a means? And so when you start talking and you start understanding where their mindset is at, you find out that they have been communicating. We often miss those cues and signs. So people ask, what do you look for? What are you looking for? Or how do you know somebody's thinking about suicide? Because they're communicating despair. They're communicating about a loss. They're wanting to give their things away. I have ideas about how they can say goodbye. They want to be away from people. I myself was involved in a situation where a guy was in a church Sunday morning, and he killed. He was in the church service that Sunday morning and killed himself Sunday night.
I've got to pause you right there. That's. I want to come back to that. We've got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to share a little bit more and get some help out there to you. You're listening to Margaret Jackson, Money 2.0, Business on the Edge, BRA's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0 Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We're talking about, first, we're honoring Chesley Crist, who lived an amazing life. I'm going to honor her, and she was beautiful in every way. But we need to address what we missed and how we can do better. Our therapists and our psychologists, or if they're getting any kind of support or help, if some people may not be, but we need to be in tune. And Elizabeth, we were chatting on break about how do we, you know, really know the signs and symptoms. And another part is the fear of people wanting to get involved. How do we address that?
Well, I think a couple of things. So from a prevention perspective, a prevention model, so I do community-based prevention work with the Prevention Bureau here at Social Services here in Santa Clara County. And the whole idea of prevention, right, is that we jump in upstream. In other words, we put some things in place to help prevent a crisis, to help prevent a family going into crisis, right? And so we use this word called protective factors. And protective factors are really just tools to manage difficulty, stressors, life stuff that goes on, right? So if you talk about, let me just paint this paradigm, a risk factor, right? So if a family grows up in poverty, or they grow up with a history of mental illness, or they feel disconnected, they lack coping skills, right? Those are all risk factors for what? Those are risk factors for living a life, an unhealthy, a life where they're not being fruitful and productive, not just outwardly, but inwardly. And in the case of this young lady, she was being productive outwardly, but inwardly she was struggling with that tension of, this is how I present, and this is what's really happening to me. And when you're feeling disconnected, or you don't have strong coping skills, a lot of times you will perform and perform and perform, thinking that performance is going to supersede or help manage what's going on for me. And it's just the opposite. The more you try to perform, and you still are holding on to what's happening to me inside, it becomes very conflictual and internalized. And why? Because you're not able to really acknowledge that I'm not okay. And why do we live in a culture where we acknowledge that I'm not okay?
Right.
So from a community perspective, anytime there's a tragedy, or, you know, if you look at the Gilroy shootings, or you look at just various George Floyd, the whole thing we've been through in the last 3 years, a lot of it for folks is really having what we call protective factors, right? Good solving problem-solving skills, supportive friends, supportive family, good coping skills, positive self-image. That in this situation, and nobody, you know, the family, their family's going through their own turmoil, and their family's going through this, what did we miss, right? And so a lot of times when you're talking about what did we miss, we're not sure what to look for, right?
Right.
We're not sure what to look for. So from a prevention lens, we want to help build those protective factors where you have safe community, where you're talking about what's going on. It's not a performance thing. You know, a few years ago, we had a series of suicides over at Palo Alto High School across from Stanford. And one of my colleagues, had to deal with helping those families deal with that. And a lot of that tension was around performance and expectations, and when people didn't live up to that. So that perception or that belief that what's going on the outside and going on the inside, they have to be different, or I can't acknowledge that things are not okay, is a whole lot to do with what the kind of culture that we live in. So from a preventative perspective, what things do I need to be in place? What we should be focused on, what we should put in place in our families, in our communities. And guess what? When we say we don't want to get involved, we don't want to get involved with potentially what could happen or the wrong that could happen. All of us want to be involved in loving and caring about our neighborhood. Otherwise, we would be living a little differently, right?
Right.
Back in the day, all in my neighborhood, all the neighbors, we knew each other. If my parents were gone out of town, or if we acted up down the street, hey, the neighbors would call and tell my mom. It's a little different these days. So there is an element of separation and isolation in our communities. But the reality is that we've seen over the last 3 years that when a community has suffered, the community has come together, i.e. George Floyd, i.e. the Gilroy shooting.
Right.
So many scenarios, right? So we know that people care. What people don't want to get involved in is what is either why it happens, whether because it's projected guilt, or I feel a sense of responsibility, or I just don't know what to do. And the best thing you can do, right? One of the best things is really educate yourself about the warning signs of suicide. But the best thing you can do, and it works, it has worked over and over again, is to have that conversation and being able to say, you look like you're upset. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Are you thinking about killing yourself? Right? And just have, right? Because that has diffused. Because when people start talking about how they're really feeling about that, that helps to diffuse the hopelessness. Why? Because I'm airing it out and I'm sharing it. Now there's some hope. Now I can get some support. Now, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
It changes the dynamic a little bit.
Right. So I want to make sure that we have tools for our audience. And again, rest in peace, Chesley, Chris, we appreciate your gift and all that you've done. We honor you. And I'm so sad that life was so tough that you felt like you had to end it. There is a number, National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If you are that person, dial it, 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text TALK TO 741-741. And just know and listen to what Elizabeth is saying, that really we do care. And we don't want you to take your life. It matters. I've got to go to a commercial break. Liz Stewart, thank you so much. Elizabeth Stewart, Bay Area, Silicon Valley, one of the sought after therapists here in the Valley. Connect with her at Kingdom Family Resources. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are live here in Silicon Valley, Bay Area, iHeartRadio. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to tonight. A little sobering tonight. If you're just tuning in, we kicked off the show with honoring Chesley Crist for Black History Month. A wonderful 30-year-old, beautiful, beautiful young lady that achieved so much in her short time on this planet. And we need to pay attention. And so, Chesley Crist, thank you for your gift, your talent, your energy, and what you have given to the world, to the community, to the human community. I want to shift gears and I want to bring someone else on who is impacting in a powerful way. And we actually had him on in 2018. And I'm very excited to have him back. And actually, it was for Black History Month. And he was doing a Forever February campaign with the young people here, the young African-American kids, on getting them to stop saying the N-word. And so Albert Wright is with us. Albert's career path has since positioned him as a mentor to middle, high school, and college students, introducing and exposing them to careers in STEM. He's an inventor with several patents pending. He is a visionary. Albert is not just recruiting engineering students, but grooming them at an early, early age. Albert Wright, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Margaret. How are you?
I'm doing well. Albert, we had you on the show in 2018. So it's been a little bit. And we're glad to have you back and to share and update us with what's going on. And before we get started, we've got a little bit of a clip to play for you from that interview. So if we could play that clip, please go right ahead.
So Albert, tell us a little bit about this movement, Forever February, and how this kind of campaign started.
Well, Margaret, the way the Forever February movement began, I'm a member of the 100 Black Men of Silicon Valley, and I mentor the students here with us today. Dr. Jamal Splane, the principal of Burnell Intermediate School, emailed me and told me about a situation that arose where one of our young white youth called one of our mentees the N-word and a bunch of other explicitives, bad words, on social media. Dr. Jamal asked me to take this negative and turn it into a positive. And I sat with the mentees and Forever February was born. And so the Forever February movement is designed to challenge our culture, our youth, to stop using the N-word themselves, stop listening to the media, the music, and everything where the N-word is supported. And in challenging ourselves to use it, we can change the culture.
And there you have it. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and we're going to pick this conversation up with Albert Wright. And we're going to find out what else is he doing now in 2022. And you're going to be excited to hear about what he's doing. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW, Various Business and Finance Leader. We'll be back.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome. Well, you know, this segment is my segment. This is, I love it. I love it. I love this segment. Coming into the Small Business Concierge segment of the show is always awesome because we're talking to small business owners, we're talking to visionaries, we're talking to change agents, we're talking, and I kind of have my own kind of intro music. It reminds me of you know, the old shows. I remember as a young girl watching Shaft and he'd have his own music. I got my own Shaft music. So I am glad. So if you're just, it's Black History Month. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun this month. So if you're just tuning in, I have introduced just a stellar power man. He's just a power man. Albert Wright. Albert, we played the segment from our 2018 show, Forever February. How did that turn out? And give us a little update on that. Share with us what you're doing now and the great work and what kind of things can we expect in 2022?
Thanks again, Margaret. It's great to be back on the show and to briefly discuss the Forever February movement. It was quite interesting back then as the youth came out of February of 2018. Yeah. February of 2018, and we had the pizza party. They were kind of skittish about it, but the superintendent for the East Side Union High School District at that time, he wanted to move it forward and push it and push it through. Yeah, we got mm-hmm. we got into a little bit of bureaucracy with a couple of organizations, and so it's kind of at a standstill, but it is still part of this new narrative. I think it possibly was even an idea before its time, because we're in a narrative now where it can be heard, and I appreciate that. I see that.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, you know, the Small Business Concierge segment of the show is about our magazine, and we just published our most recent version of the magazine, our 2022 first quarter magazine. And we are expecting, because it evolves, our magazines they live because they're digital magazines. And so we are going to be adding some articles for Black History Month, and Lam Research is going to be providing an article on you and what you're doing there. So what exactly are you doing? Share with the audience what you got going on with these young kids in Lam's research.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And I thank you for that. But just to make a quick point, I was listening at the beginning of the show concerning the young sister and your passion behind it. I don't want that to escape, you know, even as we segue into this portion of the show, the passion that's in your voice. And Liz, Elizabeth, I know her very well. I can appreciate the conversation that you ladies were having and the need to really have those conversations in the community.
Right.
That will help us to identify our loved ones, individuals in the community, some of our neighbors who may be suffering in that way. And so, yeah, I just want to make mention of that.
Thank you for that.
Very heart filling.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yep. So the technology tours have kind of evolved. LAM Research is really behind the movement and intentional about bringing this STEM science joint venture to our African American Latino communities, and that really blesses me. We're in the process of partnering with the East Oakland Youth Development Center to do a work over there with the youth, and we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that one of the projects that I'm heading up, and then also we have a same kind similar project where we're starting boots on the ground to develop a tech center in the urban community, the middle of the city, where we have several largely Hispanic and African American middle schools and high schools. And so we're really excited about building a tech center to begin to train our students in vocational STEM training. It's something that is unheard of before, and we're happy to be, trailblazing this movement. And we're really looking forward to that. And again, wow! Since then, I've been appointed. This makes me laugh. I've been appointed the vice president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce and vice president of the Silicon Valley Center for Entrepreneurial Development.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so the synergies that exist in the community with the work that you do with the concierge and through wonderful community partners like Design Visionaries and 100 Black Men of Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce and Center for Entrepreneurial Development, these synergies are highly, I actually call them divine design. Divine right. design synergies, because you cannot make this stuff up. And what's so powerful about it, and it's the conversation leads with, this organization was started 40 years ago. This idea came to us 40 years ago. And I started doing this 40 years ago. And when you run into synergies like that, when you're talking about pulling a generational idea, generational movement forward, and you have people coming from all walks of life, even spiritual life, the church life, and we're working with community organizations, we're working with small business tech companies, and pulling these things together, it's incredible. You
it's awesome.
Make this stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Can't make it up.
You
can't make it up. Can't make it up. I got to get out of this segment. I got to get out. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. That's nice and smooth coming in. Welcome back. Welcome back, Money 2.0. Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are at the bottom of our show. And just a quick recap. We opened up the show kicking off Black History Month. So we're gonna have a good time this month on sharing the heroes and sheroes of Black history, the movers and the shakers, where we're going. And I love it. One of the things that I've included in my language, in my conversation, is that we belong at the table. Black faces belong at the table, the boardroom table. And I've come to realize and to learn is that sometimes there's people that don't want us at the table. And you know what? That's okay. Because what we're doing is we're building our own tables. And we're building our own boardrooms. And we're building our own businesses. See, we have to understand that life, humankind, that means you have different kinds of life, different kinds of people, different kinds of background. That we don't need each other's permission to live an extraordinary life. The reality is that we're all supposed to live extraordinary lives at our optimal level. The race, my life to live extraordinary or to my optimal level, my race is not against you. It is with myself. I compete with myself to be the best version of each part of me that I can, a mother, a wife, a student, a mentor, a coach, a businesswoman, a radio show personality. I strive against myself. So I don't mind that you're at the table. I have no issue with you being at the table, whoever you are, whatever your background. You know why? Because you don't need my permission. Now, we're going to be at different tables because we're at different places professionally in our lives. It's like going to school. You're not going to see 12th graders at the same table with first graders. Why? Because they're first graders. Life progresses. We grow, we mature, we learn. But we do not need your permission. You do not need my permission to be an exceptional woman in your career field and be at whatever table that you have developed the power in your life to be invited to that table. Someone has the authority to invite you to that table. And if they don't want you at their table, you go build your own table. Whether you're Hispanic, African-American, Caucasian, German, LGBTQ, whatever your faith-based situation, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, there's all these tables. Our race is not against each other. Our race is against the potential to fulfill the potential on our life. You cannot fulfill the potential on my life. I could not ever fulfill the potential on Chesley Crist's life. She fulfilled her own potential. And people got angry with her because of that. What? Cyberbullying is a complete waste of time and energy. That cannot possibly be your best. To throw stones at someone who's trying to live their best, optimal version of their life. I'm living the best version of my life today. And tomorrow, guess what? It's going to be better. And Sunday, it's going to be better. As long as there's breath in my body and I'm living and breathing, I promise you it's going to be better. And I don't need your permission to do it. As far as cyberbullying, I'm not one that is easily bullied. In fact, at all, quite frankly.
we're in a cyber digital world. You're putting your steps out there, bullying people. Like that can't be tracked back to you. Come on. Spend time being your best optimal version of yourself that's healthy, that advances your life to be your best version of yourself. I would encourage you to do that. And for those who are struggling, who are high achievers or whatever the situation may be, and you need to talk to someone, don't take your life. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255, or you can text TALK to 741-741. We need you to live. We need you to breathe, and we need you to excel and be the best version of yourself. Chesley, Chris, rest in peace. God bless your soul. Thank you for your gift on this planet, and we just have to apologize for missing your pain. We don't want to miss anyone else's pain. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on Money 2.0, Bay Area's business and finance leader. Go out and be good to someone and be your best version on purpose. Build your table. Be great on purpose. God bless.